Okay, am I on? No, I'm not on. Okay, he's giving me signs. It's on now. Okay. All right, so good to be back here today. It's good to, man, that was a good message by Brother Shepherd this morning. Amen. When's the last time I saw you, Brother Shepherd? Was it in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I believe, at Bella Vista Baptist Church, one of my supporting churches? Amen. Good to see you. Good to see you doing something for the Lord still. Amen.
Amen.
I got some friends here from Sycamore Baptist Church up in Jackson, Michigan, supporting church up there. They're just, you know what? You come to Landmark, you find all kinds of folks here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good to have my nephew here from Little Rock, Arkansas, visiting during spring break with my dad. I'm going to ask you to, if you would, open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Have you ever had one of those dreams where you're running and you can't get away from the guy, or you get up to stand up in front of people to speak and you don't have your pants on or something like that? I was talking to the preacher last Monday and I said, I sure am glad you didn't ask me to preach last Sunday morning because I forgot my glasses. So he asked me to preach this Sunday morning and I forgot my glasses. My reading glasses. So if I butcher the King's English, you'll know why. I'm just not seeing it all. I can't get far enough away from the pulpit. So just forgive me if you would. Proverbs chapter number 4. And we'll read verses 1 through 4. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake not my law. Get this, verse 3. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd bless this message. Help me, Lord, to be clear in what I want to say. Help me to be a blessing. Lord, I pray that you'd help the words that I speak tonight through your word, this morning through your word, may they convict the heart of the sinner. If there's somebody here that's not saved, I pray, Lord, that they would face their sin for what it is and come to the only cure. Help them to come to Jesus. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever heard the saying, don't do as I do, do as I say? I don't know how many times I heard that as I was growing up. And we'd say, well, what hypocrisy to do that. But if I could put a title to this message, that would be exactly what the message would be. Don't do as I do, do as I say. You know, when we look at God and what He's, how He talks to us and what He teaches us, it's by His words more than anything else. But what do we base our lives on? What do we base our Christianity on? What do we base our salvation on? It's based on what? The Word of God. By the way, God has never been a hypocrite. He has never said something that He couldn't do. By the way, He fulfilled that, and the only time it's ever been fulfilled by any man was fulfilled by the man, Christ Jesus. Who was Jesus? God in the flesh. God come down to the earth. He's a great example, but that's not why He came. He was a great teacher, and He taught us a lot of good things, but that's not why He came. He came to save us.
Amen.
And He came to die on the cross.
Amen.
And to be buried and to raise again the third day so that we could have eternal life.
Amen.
But I want you to notice something here as He talks about keeping my words and doing my commandments. He throws in a statement here that's very interesting. Verse number 3. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Who was the one speaking here. Who wrote this proverb? Solomon. Am I right? Okay. Who did he write it to? He wrote it to his children, his sons, and to us by proxy. But listen to me. I want you to look at what he pointed out here. I was my father's son. Who was Solomon's father? David. Now, when we think of David, usually the first thing we think about is David and Goliath. Or we'll think about David running from Saul in the wilderness. Or we'll think about David, the great general. Or we'll think about David, the conquering king, that built Jerusalem, the walls of Milo, and turned it into a great fortress city. But to bring it into context, he went on and said, not only am I my father's son, but I'm tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Who was Solomon's mother? What do you think about when you think about Bathsheba? Do you think about a good mother? Do you think about a faithful wife? What do you think about when you think about Bathsheba? And this brings it all into context then. I'm my father's son. And you know who my mother is, don't you? My mother was an adulteress. And that makes my father an adulterer. And that makes my father a murderer. Have you ever heard the saying, do as I say, not as I do? And Solomon is pointing out something here. He's pointing out that I probably didn't get the best start in life. I probably have a lot of baggage in my past. I've got every reason to have turned out wrong. I could blame it on my parents. My parents were such hypocrites. My dad said things, but he did something else. But Solomon didn't do that. By the way, Solomon is going ahead and he's saying, now listen to me. I didn't have the best parents, and I haven't been the best person either. I want to ask you something. Is there anyone here perfect parents? You never made any mistakes. You never messed up. You don't have a few things in your past that maybe you regret, that maybe your kids know about. Okay? None of us are perfect. All of us make mistakes. This has been a great lesson for me. Whenever I saw this, whenever I was teaching through the book of Proverbs in my church in Romania, this hit me right between the eyes. I can't help the way I am because my mama was this way. And people make excuse after excuse after excuse for why they're in the sin that they're in and why they won't give it up. And they'll go to their therapist and their psychologist and their psychiatrist who will reinforce that. Oh, you are the way you are because of your parents. By the way, you are. You inherited their sin nature. We don't really have much of an excuse, do we? Now, Solomon, he says, I'm my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. I'm a lot like my daddy. I'd say he was a lot stupider than his daddy, even though he was wise. Think about this, 700 wives. We read the book of Proverbs, maybe we don't know the whole story about the way he wrote the book of Proverbs. Open, if you would, to Proverbs chapter number 21. Let's start in verse number 7. Solomon is sitting at his desk and he's writing the Proverbs. And he writes verse number 7, the robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. The way of a man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. And I think right about here, one of his wives comes storming in the door throwing a hissy fit. And And she's chewing him up one side and down the other. She's mad at the Moabitess wife that he's got. That she got into her makeup or something. I don't know what it was. And she's just tearing him up. And Solomon, after she walks out, his whole train of thought's been interrupted, and he writes the next one. It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And then he goes on and he writes a few more proverbs. He's got his mind back on the subject at hand. And then we get down to about verse number 18. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor, for the upright. And then another wife walks in. You get the picture here? And she's mad and upset because somebody took some of her shoes. It is better. Look at there. My hero. Oh, that's so much better. You might get a whole new message now. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. And now you know why so many guys like to go hunting and fishing. Now I'm meddling. Okay. All right. I'll move on. I better watch it. Listen. Solomon was not the best example of a man. It was very clear. When God gave the instructions for the kingdom, what the king was supposed to do and what the king was not supposed to do. He wasn't supposed to multiply wives and he wasn't supposed to multiply horses. I don't know what correlation there is there. But he did those things. He made a lot of mistakes in his ministry. And you know what? I can, as I got into beginning of my adult life, I could look at people raising their kids and I could point out all their mistakes. Be careful with that. Amen. And I could look back at my parents and I could point out all their mistakes. Boy, I wish I was still that smart. I was pretty sharp whenever I was 20 years old. But you know what? I would look back at my parents and I would say, man, they really messed me up. You know, I grew up in a regular Southern home. We didn't go to church much. Both of my parents smoked. I remember, they smoked like chimneys. I didn't know anything better. So I smoked. As soon as I got to where I could sneak around and steal cigarettes from my parents, I'd sneak off somewhere and smoke. One time my mom walked into my bedroom and I was in there smoking with a friend of mine. She walked in and took my cigarettes away from me. Well, what right does she have to do that? She smokes. Why would she want me? Listen, you know what I found out about parents? They want better for their kids than what they got. They don't want me to live the life that they lived. Yeah, they messed up. And that, you know what my responsibility was to my parents? Not to copy them, but to do what they said. Yeah, they had every right to tell me, do as I say, not as I do. Why? Because they wanted something better for me. And God has every right to tell us to do what the Word of God says, not as the man of God does. You know, sometimes we're so willing to throw out the baby with the bathwater. There's a lot of Christians sitting at home today, not in church, not serving God, not doing anything for God because some preacher messed up. I can take you to one after the other of people who have said, well, I got saved and then I seen that preacher do something wrong and they just dropped out of church and never went back again. You know what? You're not going to give account for what that preacher did. But you are going to give account for what that preacher told you. Yeah. than if it came from the Word of God.
Amen.
We have no excuse to reject. Listen, anybody that's ever done any kind of debating or defending or apologetics for God, there are certain types of arguments that we shouldn't ever use in order to try to win a debate. One of them is called an ad hominem argument. Oh, I don't have to listen to anything that guy says because he was wrong about this. But he's right about everything else, but he's wrong about this. Listen, you're not going to find anybody that's right about everything. And so if you're going to find some little thing that he may be a little bit wrong about and use that as an excuse for not listening to anything he says, you're not going to be able to listen to anybody. Listen, we can't stand before God and say, it's not my fault, it's somebody else's fault. I'm a reprobate because my daddy was a reprobate. You know, there's a principle laid down in the Bible, all the way through the Bible you find it. You know what the principle is? The children are not going to suffer for the sins of the fathers.
Yes.
It starts in Deuteronomy chapter 24 and in Exodus. And it goes on and it talks about how the iniquity of the father is not going to be have to be paid for by the children. The children, in Ezekiel, he says the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. He says, that's not a good argument. Oh, we're suffering because of what our fathers did. No, you're suffering because you're doing what your father did and not listening to what your father said. What is our responsibility? What is our responsibility? Each one of us here is going to give an account. We're not going to give an account for what mistakes Brother Carter has made, or what mistakes Pastor Stephen has made, or what mistakes some other leader in this church have made. We've all made them, haven't you? We want to use our fathers or our leaders as our excuses, but then we don't want to suffer for the consequences of those bad choices. Do you think you're going to be able to stand before God and having sat in a church service at Landmark Baptist Church and heard the Word of God preached and say, I didn't get saved because I was mad at Brother Carter? It ain't going to work. God will say, you don't worry about Brother Carter. I'll take care of Brother Carter.
Yes.
We're talking about you right now. I love it when people know just enough Bible to be dangerous. I think that's we covered that a little bit with Brother Shepherd in the last service. Be careful quoting Scripture out of context. You know what we like to do? I deal with this all the time because I work with gypsies in Romania a lot, and they're all gypsies in Romania. You know what it is? People will come up to me and say, Brother Jim, the Bible says if you see your brother have a need, you're supposed to give to his need. And I have a need. That's not the way the Bible works. You know who the Bible was written to? The person that's reading it. It's not for you to take it and say, you got to do this for me. And so you say, well, Brother Jim, is it okay for me not to live right in front of my kids because I'm telling them the right thing? No, you're supposed to live right in front of your kids, all right? But don't use that as an excuse for not listening to those that went on before you. You're going to give an account for your own sins. Over and over again, you'll see this happen. A leader in the church led me into evil. Well, did you not know that that was evil? Is he the only one guilty because he led you into evil? Why did you follow? If adultery is wrong, it was wrong for him, it's wrong for you. If stealing's wrong, it's wrong for him and it's wrong for you, or embezzling cash or whatever. Listen, sin is sin. And yeah, you can point out everybody else's sin if you want to, but you better deal with your own sin. And Solomon's saying, yeah, I've made my mistakes. My daddy made some mistakes. My mama made some mistakes. But I'm still responsible to follow the law that they laid down for me.
Amen.
And by the way, the law that they laid down is right here.
Amen.
In the Word of God. Amen. You'll never stand before God having heard and seen and read the Word of God and say, I didn't do that part because my preacher didn't live it.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. Don't take the parts of the Bible you like and throw them at him and not throw them back at yourself. Aren't you glad God doesn't judge us the way we judge each other? I just want to blame it on somebody else. It's not my fault. And you go to your therapist and he'll say, yeah, it's all your daddy's fault. It's all your mama's fault. It's all that preacher's fault. You know, the whole thing about the homosexual movement and all this other stuff, it's hate crime to talk about them.
Yeah.
It ain't our fault because we feel bad. It ain't our fault because we're living in sin. It ain't our fault because we're all messed up. It's everybody else's fault for talking about it.
Yeah.
And not agreeing with us about it.
Yeah.
Listen, sin is sin.
Amen.
And until you deal with the sin, you're not going to have any peace in your heart. Listen, there's people here this morning. I believe there's people here this morning that are lost. And you'll stand there and you'll cling to the back of that pew. And you'll have every excuse in the world to hang on. And maybe your excuses are legitimate in the eyes of man, but they're not legitimate in the eyes of God. You need to get saved.
Amen.
Yes, people are going to disappoint you. I get disappointed all the time. I don't know how many times in the last couple of years I've had to just put my face in my hands and weep over somebody that I respected and loved who fell into sin. But that doesn't do away with the fact that the Bible is still the Word of God. And the gospel that guy had preached in the past is still the gospel that is valid today. Yes, we're going to be disappointed in people. Don't you know that's true for everybody? Have you forgotten that they're made out of the same mud you are? Solomon said, yes, I'm my father's son. Yes, I'm tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. My daddy was David, my mama was Bathsheba. They messed up and I've messed up. But I got to give an account for what I heard and what I know. Oh, folks, listen to me. You've sat here and you've heard the gospel over and over again. And you hear it. And I can remember when I was lost, standing at a pew, gripping the back of that pew. Say, what am I going to do? And you'll say, well, I know this about that person in the church, and I know this about this person in the church. And you're going to let somebody that you don't even have any respect for keep you from getting saved?
Yeah.
Oh, my parents have let me down, and oh, this, that, and the other thing. Listen, are you going to let that keep you from getting saved? Just stand before God and just open it up and let Him know, yes, I did wrong.
Yes.
Receive Jesus Christ this morning. We're all going to stand and we're all going to give an account. Every man, and then every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ. You better do it while you're alive.
Amen.
Because it's not valid after you're dead.
Right.
Romans chapter 3. For all. For all. How many? All have sinned. And come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. You got that? None. There's none righteous. No, not one. Nobody will stand before God with an excuse or with a plea of righteousness. Oh, I was a pretty good person. Not good enough. I lived a pretty good life. Not good enough. Well, I seen somebody mess up. Not good enough. you will give an account. You will stand before God. You will have to see all your sins revealed to the whole world.
Amen.
Will you receive Christ this morning?
Amen.
For all have sinned and come short. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it on your goodness. You're not going to make it on your excuses. You're not going to make it on your victimization.
Yeah.
You'll only make it through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, we've quote the verses over and over again. Many of you folks can tell anybody around you. But there will be no excuse for you if you're not saved.
Yes.
The people stand before God. You find it in the Gospels. Say, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? Haven't we done this and haven't we done that? Oh, we were good people. And he said, hey, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. It didn't mean I knew you, then I didn't know you, then I knew you, then I didn't know you. It says, I never knew you. You were never in the family of God. You never received Christ. I remember for years, I supposedly got saved in a church camp when I was 11 years old. For years, people would ask me, are you saved? Or I'd sit through an invitation, I'd lift my hand saying, I'm saved. Then finally it came down to it. I'm sitting in a church service at Windsor Hills Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. Bruce Foster is preaching a message. He said, just because somebody told you you're saved doesn't mean you're saved. And whenever I was at that church camp, I went forward at an invitation. Nobody took a Bible and led me to the Lord. Nobody told me anything. But somebody told me after that I was saved. He said, don't face God with what somebody else has told you. Face God with what He's told you. And I went forward and I received Christ that night. Listen to me. I sat in churches for 12 years with an excuse. He told me. But no excuse is good enough. You've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.